The major problem, really, is that this is going to sound slightly critical of the industries. We still don't really know from most sort of, if you view this from most sciences, we really don't actually have a very good handle of what's going on, in the sense that most of the design of a lot of wastewater reactors was developed just before the First World War. We're talking like a 100-year-old technology. And it was developed before there was really any of the modern microbiology tools. So they didn't really know why it worked. It was just observed that if you had the system working this way, it usually worked, sometimes didn't, but usually did. Then it kind of got copied by other people because, oh, that one works, so we'll try and build a similar plant. And it was only years later when sort of really quantitative microbiology took off that people were actually able to explain why the technique they'd been using for a few decades by that point actually worked, which is incredible that you design something that works and then you figure out 30, 40 years later why it works.
Was it a luck thing or like a guess?
Empiricism is the generous word, the idea that you keep trying something and you keep subtly refining it till you get better. I mean, an analogy which a former collaborator of mine often liked is if you look at bridge building. If you look at bridges built 2,000 years ago and bridges built 200 years ago, they're basically the same design. They're generally masonry arches, so stone arches. They're generally of about the same span. They don't sort of like massive jumps. If you've got a wide river, you'd put two or three archway spans there. But roughly the design stayed the same because nobody really had the mathematical tools to describe why it stayed up or didn't stay up. So nobody could be that radical. Yeah, you might expand it by a little bit and then you might try something different. If that falls down, nobody ever copies you again. And if that stays up, then that adds to the bank of knowledge so people can then start copying that design. It then got to the stage of, okay, we don't just need to basically copy what we've seen to work before. We know why this works, so we can do this, well, those days, on paper. I mean, nowadays, there's even more radical designs than that, an absolutely crazy sort of suspension bridges of enormous reach. But you can do that because you computers to be able to basically crunch through billions, trillions of calculations. We're not at that stage with wastewater. We're still at the stage of, well, we tried this last week and it worked, so let's try it again. We're still not quite at the stage of knowing exactly why certain bacteria grow at the rate they do when in the presence of other ones or in the presence of a particular nutrient or how variable that is. We're still trying to effectively figure out the rules before we can do intelligent design.
Is it also, when it comes to wastewater treatment design, if it's not broken, you don't need to fix it?
It's kind of that. However, the problem that we've got is that it isn't broken, but it also isn't perfect either. So there is, everybody sees a heck of a lot of scope for improvement in terms of less frequent failures in the developed world, so you don't have to stop them and then restart them, but also being able to scale them down. The reason that they're built big is basically if you've got a sort of random system, which may or may not fail, if you build it bigger and bigger and bigger, it's much more stable because more things have to basically be unlucky at the same time for it to go down. But that doesn't work in certain countries, don't have the infrastructure for that. So the idea of smaller scale ones would be ideal.
Take a place like Indonesia, where there's a huge governmental push for the decentralization of the sanitation system. And a lot of that is actually handing over the power to the community in some sort of ways. And there's obvious potential for problem there at the same time if they're not managed or kind of maintained in the same way. But do you think a system like that would ever translate over here?
If it was working well in somewhere like Indonesia, then yeah, there would be no reason why not. I mean, I can't imagine you would dismantle the infrastructure that is here, but I mean, obviously, the shorter distances that you're piping stuff, the less you're actually paying in terms of actual pumping costs, because that's actually a huge amount of it, just actually paying for a pump to actually get this stuff moving. And if you think of even things like sort of greenhouse gas emissions for actually powering these pumps, there's a heck of a lot of energy usage. So, I mean, I would have thought the ideal system is having these small-scale ones which are sort of loosely connected, that if for whatever reason they do fail or whatever else, that you can just sort of pass the problem on to the next unit for the short term till you've restarted yours. So you would have that effectively as plan B. I suppose from a sustainability point of view, the ideal would be almost a sort of an in-house system where just sort of the same water goes around the house again and again. I think that's a pipe dream that we're a heck of a long way off. Mm. I mean, not least because it's not really sort of that politically palatable for people to have these things stuck on their own house. If that fails, you don't really want a failing wastewater reactor kind of in your back garden.
I can imagine
doesn't
some
do much
people,
for property prices.
Yeah. So then to bring in kind of your area, as in the mathematical modelling or the different variables to bring into that, what's the purpose behind this?
A lot of the maths actually behind this is actually developed in economics departments and in sort of in business schools, because I mean a lot of that is again looking at the variability and, for example, like stock prices and what factors are going to influence when prices spike, if there's effectively a panic when a thing's going to drop, and how you might get early indicators of something shifting being a sign that something's about to spike or go off a cliff. So it's very often looking at almost foreseeing major problems before they start.
When it comes to wastewater, what are some of those major problems?
Well, I say failure to remove something that you absolutely need removed. In the developed world, these systems they work, but they're very, very inefficient in the sense that they're just monitored all the time, because obviously they want to be close to 100% certain that what they're pumping back out into people's drinking supply is actually safe. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that everything which is basically toxic to the human supply is actually removed from the water before it's put out. Now, these systems are quite fickle and unstable. So what they will do is they will monitor them, and then if they do fail a particular thing, they'll just obviously stop pumping that back out into the water supply for a while. But then you're wasting the money in there. You might have to drain part of it. You might have to sift it out, stick it into another tank, and then restart. These are incredibly expensive processes, and they also rely on a heck of a lot of infrastructure in terms of piping or potentially draining something into a tank and then driving it somewhere else and tipping it in. So it means two things. It means that the energy demands in countries like this are sky high, somewhere between, depending on the estimates, somewhere between about 5 and 10% of all energy used in the country is used on the infrastructure of making sure that what comes out your tap is safe. I mean, the holy grail of a lot of this is decentralisation, where you could build a small plant that would be for a small community and would sort of stand up and be stable and be predictable and wouldn't need constant expensive monitoring. That was the holy grail kind of when I started in this field 10 years ago. And I would hope we're closer, but it's still not exactly kind of on the market, in the marketplace now.